Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free 844-322-2742. Give us a call because it's Basic Gospel, and we'd love to hear from you. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, last month we celebrated Easter. We celebrated the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The ascension is a part of that story. Pentecost is coming up. But one of the things that so many people fail to talk about is the implications of the resurrection for you and me here and now. I mean, certainly it's proof that Jesus is who he claimed to be. It's proof of our resurrection, the hope that we have that one day we're going to get bodies just like he got a new body. So there are those sort of things. But what about right now? How does a resurrection hit us right now? How does it impact us? How does it affect how we live as believers in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the most practical reality there is. I mean, we have this new life, and this new life is Christ's life. It's his resurrected life. And so the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now coursing through our spiritual veins. We have that power in us. Now, Paul wrote about this quite extensively in almost every letter that he penned. Peter wrote about this as well. John wrote about it in his first letter. He didn't use the word resurrection, but he talks about the fact that God abides in us and that we see the manifestation of God's life living through us in powerful ways. Well, in Galatians 2, verses 19 through 21, we see this reality really concisely stated for us. So it says in verse 19, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." So this death, this burial, this resurrection means that we've died to the law. So Christ fulfilled the law. He took upon himself the wages of sin. And that's the end of the law, death. Jesus died in our place. So through our identification with Christ, we've died to the law so that we might live to God. So there was a purpose in dying to the law so that we might live to God. If you're under the law, it means you're lost. You're dead spiritually. There's no way you can live for God. You're dead. and that just isn't going to produce life at all.
No.
So we had to die with Christ to the law so that we could live to God. And he explains it in verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So there's the implication of the resurrection. There's what it means to you and to me. Christ was raised physically. He ascended. He was seated at the right hand of God the Father. When you and I come to him by faith, he sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. Christ himself living in us. So it's Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And then he says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." There's no way that we can be justified in the sight of God through obedience to the law. It simply condemned us. It simply showed us our need for Jesus. So we needed to die to that. We needed that old man to just take its last breath so that it could come alive in Jesus Christ and experience new life. And that new life is a life of faith in Jesus. That's what new life is all about. And so this is the implication. This is the reality of the resurrection for you and for me. It's the most life-changing truth that we can really know. I mean, my life was stymied. It felt like I was just stuck in mud trying to grow in Christ, and I just wasn't getting anywhere. And it was this reality, this truth, that really lifted me out of that mud. It got me going. Why? Because I finally realized that life in Christ wasn't about rules and regulations. It wasn't trying to live up to the Big Ten. I had to die to that human effort. I had to die to trying harder and doing more. And when I did, I got to embrace fully the life of Christ in me. And that's the way it is for every believer. That's part of your story, isn't it,
yeah,
Richard?
Yeah, it is. I'll never forget when it finally dawned on me about, you know, 20 years after getting tired of mashing my face into a brick wall, running as hard as I could to break through that barrier. And the whole time, Jesus was two steps to my right, holding a door open, saying, yeah, how would you like to come with me? Yeah. You know, and it's like I had been ignoring that. And yet, patiently, he just kept standing there saying, yeah, you know, I've already taken care of this. I already died for you. I've already been raised for you. Now let that death, burial, and resurrection be yours and
yes,
discover freedom. And there it was.
Yes, yes, indeed. So does the resurrection have a meaning for us right now in a very practical way? Yes, a resounding yes. Christ, the one who was raised from the dead physically 2,000 years ago, is now living in you. And you have been raised to walk in the newness of life. What is this newness of life? Well, it's a life that died to the law so that you could live to God. How do you do that? By faith in the one who loved you and gave himself for you.
It's good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. And if you have a question or some troubling life circumstance that you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 844-322-2742. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Now, if you are a new listener, if you have recently discovered Basic Gospel, we have something especially for you, and it's free. Bob, this is an exciting gift to our new listeners.
Well, it all ties into the reality of the resurrection for you and me. When we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, we've been given a brand new identity. And Christ wants us to know who we are, what he has made us. And that's what this resource is all about. It's helping you understand your new identity in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, once you know your identity, that's going to shape every other aspect of your life.
Indeed.
John wrote about that in his first letter, that we've been called children of God. God has lavished his love on us in such a way that he calls us children of God. And we have this great hope. We don't know what we're going to be like, but when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. And whoever has this great hope is going to purify their lives, is going to live out who they are as children of God. Well, if you don't know who you are as a child of God, that's going to be a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
So this particular resource, we've pulled out all the passages in the New Testament that talk about your identity in Christ. By the time you read through it, you will be thanking the Lord like never before.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. So we want you to have it. It's free for the asking. Bob, tell them how they can get a copy.
Well, again, you can go to basicgospel.net/free. Again, that's basicgospel.net/free. Now, if you're hearing the live broadcast at about 8 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can call right now and speak with Michelle and request your copy. If you're a new listener, just call her at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or if you have a question, something you'd like to add to the direct broadcast today with Bob and Richard and me, we would love to hear from you as well at that same number. Once again, 844-322-2742. Well, this call came in just shortly before airtime. Let's listen.
Hi, I'd like to know, could you explain Matthew 5, verse 19? Thank you.
Well, we certainly can. It's a troubling passage, you know, if you just read it by itself. Context is going to help us understand it. So this is a passage out of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus starts this little section of it by saying, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Well, you have to remember, he was talking to a crowd that was steeped in the law, obedience to the law. The Pharisees were there, the Jewish leaders of the day, And they were accusing Jesus of just throwing the law out, just tossing it out. And he's saying, no, 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 I haven't come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled them. In life, he lived by the law to a T. I mean, he didn't violate one of the 613 commandments in the Mosaic Covenant. Not one, from the time he was born until the time he died. That's what made him the perfect Lamb of God, spotless, unblemished. He lived up to the righteous requirements of the law. He did it through a life of dependency upon his Father, which manifested itself in a life of love toward you and me. Mm-hmm. So that's how he lived it in life. And then he took upon himself our sins and died in our place. So he fulfilled it for us as well. So the righteous requirements of the law have been met in us. So he says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Well, that's true. It's going to be there until all is accomplished. Well, Jesus has fulfilled it. And then he goes on to say, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom. So if you're violating and teaching others to do the same, you're going to be called least in the kingdom. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. Well, who's the only one that's ever done them and taught them correctly? Jesus.
Yeah, the last I checked.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. So he's the only one that's great in the kingdom, not you and me. That's what he's saying here. There's a little bit of satire, sarcasm in these words of his. But he is saying, listen, y'all are accusing me of dumping the law, and you're just not understanding. I am living up to it. I am following not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. You're not. You are teaching people to violate it, not me. You're throwing out various ones. You're finding loopholes. You're not dealing with your moms and dads appropriately because you want to take the money and do other things with it. But I am the one who is teaching it appropriately, teaching both the letter and the spirit, and I am living up to the letter and the spirit.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you're looking at anybody, I'm the only one that's great in the kingdom because I'm the only one that's living up to it. But I'm going to make a way where everybody can be a part of it through faith in me. And that's why he goes on to say, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. They were the most righteous people of the day. And yet Jesus said, your righteousness better be higher than theirs, or you will not enter the kingdom of God. Well, how are we going to be made righteous? Well, just what we said in Galatians 2:19 through 21, we're not going to be made righteous through obedience to the law. We're going to be made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, the obedient one,
right,
the one who lived out the law, the one who taught both letter and spirit of the law, and the one who fulfilled the law on our behalf. Richard, any thoughts on that?
All you have to know is that Jesus and the Pharisees didn't get along.
No.
Because the Pharisees claimed this holiness, this righteousness, this status with God, and everything Jesus did poked holes in their argument. Sometimes he did it in a joking way. Sometimes he did it with curses. And everything they stood for, and the people looked up to them, and they made sure the people looked up to them. And Jesus walks up and says, That's not even close.
Yeah.
Well, of course there's going to be friction.
Yes.
Because he's saying, you guys don't understand. You have heard it was said, don't commit murder. But I tell you, if you're even angry with a person, yes, you've committed murder, that just changes everything. Yeah. And so keep this. This is a wonderful, wonderful sermon. But keep it in the context. Right. Keep it together and so you can see what he's talking about.
And the Pharisees would have overlooked the anger in the heart.
Oh, yeah.
And they would say, hey, we're okay. Because even though we have anger in our hearts, we haven't committed the crime.
Correct.
Even though we have lust in our hearts, we haven't committed adultery.
Yeah.
So on the letter, we're good, but on the spirit,
not
Jesus
so
is saying not so much.
Well,
but that's the things they were overlooking.
Yeah. By the end of Jesus' life, the Pharisees, that even the priests themselves, were paying people to lie so that they could kill Jesus. What part of law-keeping has that ever been part of? Yeah.
Not
any of it.
That's exactly right. So Jesus was the law-keeper. He kept it on our behalf. He died in our place so that through faith in him, we would be justified, made right, we would receive his righteousness, and we could live a brand new life.
It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I want to remind you that there are a growing number of listeners and viewers joining us by Facebook and YouTube every day, and you can link just a minute or two before the program every day, a minute or two before 3 p.m. Central Time, and you can see the live broadcast. You can view it on both Facebook and YouTube, top of the page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phones and talk with Javier. Hi, Javier. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I just have a question. In my church, they have a communion like once a month or every so often. And one of the requirements they say is to be baptized. Is that true?
Well, Javier, I mean, that's what they say in that church. They're not really going to find biblical support for that necessarily. But here's the deal. It's the Lord's Supper. Technically it's believers coming together, to remember what Christ has accomplished for them in death, burial, and resurrection. So it's a table that we come together to celebrate what the Lord has done on our behalf. Now I think it's a great opportunity to evangelize, to really give a gospel presentation, to show forth what Christ has done, in death, burial, and resurrection. But it's believers coming together to celebrate that. The fact that that our sins have been forgiven, the fact that we, are fellow members of the body of Christ, the fact that we are bound together in this new covenant that we live in today. Those are the things that we celebrate. So it's believers coming together. So believers are those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, placed into the body of Christ. Now, these sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are pictures of what has happened to you and me and what Christ has done to bring that about. So those are just symbols, signposts, mm-hmm, pointing to things that Christ has accomplished for us.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Javier?
Yes. So it's not like the... So it's just a representation. It doesn't have any...
Right. So your church would say, before you can take, and do you mind saying the church?
It's a church in Temple, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. So if your church is saying, hey, you have to be baptized in water at their church before you can participate in the Lord's Supper, is that what I'm getting? Okay, so the water baptism is important, and can you come into the church and say, well, I was water baptized at another church? Will they accept that, or will they say, no, you need to be baptized?
Yes, they will accept that, but I've seen in other churches you don't have to be baptized. As long as you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you can take the supper. but in this particular church, you have to be baptized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, like I said, that's something that they've come up with. You're not going to find biblical support for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Javier. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bob,
bye-bye.
For those who have joined the program in progress, you offered a very special gift for new believers, new Basic Gospel listeners just a short while ago.
Well, it is. It's something that we want to give to those who may be new to the broadcast or just tuning in. They want to find out a little bit more about what this broadcast is all about, yeah. What's being taught. Well, we've put together a resource called Your Identity in Christ. And we pulled, I think, 42 different passages out of the New Testament and assembled them together so that you can see all that Christ has accomplished for you and what it means to be a child of God in this world today. It is something that I sit down with people in counseling, and we'll just work through this. And it is unbelievable to see how God uses this in such a powerful way in people's lives. So we want you to have this. We want to put it in your hands so that you can get anchored to this grace of God that is yours, and you can know what it fully means to be a child of God in this world today. It's yours, free for the asking. Yeah. And we have a book copy. We can send it to you, or if you prefer online, a PDF that you can download, we have that as well. So both are available, and it's easy to get.
You can request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net/free. Doesn't get any better than free. Again, basicgospel.net/free.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're waiting. Let's go to Zach. Hey, Zach, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. My question was, I've heard several different interpretations of it, but I was wondering what y'all's thoughts were on Romans 6:1-7.
Okay. Great passage of Scripture. One of the most powerful that there is. And it talks about, you know, Paul starts that whole section with a question, doesn't he? And and the question is a very important question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul answers with a resounding no, by no means. If you're asking that question, it's because you haven't heard the message correctly. You've missed what this message of Jesus Christ is all about. So he's saying, how can we who died to sin still live in it? So, Zach, what has happened to us as believers in Christ is that we've died to sin. We've died to sin so that we could come alive to Jesus Christ. And then he says, do you not know that you were baptized into Christ's death? You were buried, therefore, with him by baptism, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in the newness of life. So Christ didn't set us free to go back to sin. He set us free so that we could experience new life in Christ. For if we've been united with him in death, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. So that old man, you and me, that were dead spiritually, that didn't have the life of Christ in it, that guy died, and now we're new. Zach, you have Jesus Christ living in you. You'll never be Zach without the Spirit of God. So that old Zach is dead. You're new in Jesus, and you have died to sin so that you could walk in freedom. It is one of the most beautiful passages in all of the Word of God because it really discusses our identification with Jesus in his death, his burial, and resurrection.
Indeed. Zach, thank you for calling. We're out of time. And friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and support to keep the good news on the air and online. So many others need to hear the message of grace in Christ Jesus, and you can help us get this message out. Donate today or anytime at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of Richard Piper's powerful story, What's It Worth? If you didn't hear it this past Thursday and Friday, you're going to be blessed. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Make your contribution today. We'd love for you to partner with us. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.